Philippians 4:10 through 20. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I didn't get started on this sermon really until Friday of this week. I think I had made it pretty clear at our Wednesday night meeting, at least to those that were here, how busy this week had been. Pam had the majority of it taken up. She had a colonoscopy on Monday and began her three-day chemo treatment beginning on Tuesday. And then we were over here again Thursday night, is that correct? And we were between engagements. We had gone to Greenfield at 2, came over here, had supper, and then had to leave a bit early again to get up to Colonial Hall for 6:15. And so Friday, I finally got around to doing some work on this sermon. By then, I've got to tell you, I had already given Allison a title and the scripture. And I was locked in to that because I knew what was going to be in the bulletin. I suppose I could have changed it at that point. But I really, in what it says in that scripture, I thought, you know, I've never preached in the whole time I've been here or in Tiscowa. I have never preached a stewardship sermon. So the church is about ready to hear that, I think. And, you know, I've always believed that the pastor at least once a year should preach a good stewardship sermon. And what you do is you notice the giving increases at least for a couple of weeks following one of those. But what I did is I sat down and studied the scripture. I decided that something that happened to me many years ago now was important, and I wanted you all to know that once upon a time, I owned a Pendleton shirt. Does everybody know what a Pendleton is? Listen, this is a Pendleton. That's why I specifically wore it today. But the difference between this Pendleton and the one that I'm referring to in this sermon is that that Pendleton was made in the city of Pendleton, Oregon. This one was made in Mexico. But here's what happened. As I owned that particular shirt, I missed one of the greatest potential blessings of my life. This goes all the way back to when I was a freshman in college. Can you imagine me as a 17-year-old? And I was a college student at a time. And in my psychology class, and I don't recall if this was billed as a part of the class, but the TA that was teaching us at that point, he was working on his PhD, he decided that we should all participate in a clothing drive and the clothing would all be donated to unfortunate people. Now, at that time, I was attending Loyola that freshman year. I was at what's known as the Lewis Towers campus. It's a high-rise building. And for those of you that are familiar with Chicago, if you know where the old Chicago Water Tower is, the one that survived the Chicago fire, we're right next door. There's the water tower actually sits in a little square almost, and we were the very next building next to that. So this TA, who was our teacher, said something like this, and I have to make up the words. I don't really remember them. But this is what stuck with me. He said, don't give away something that you won't miss. In other words, he wanted this to be a real sacrifice for us. Give something away that you really, really treasure. Well, I went back home. I was living with my parents at the time. And I looked in my closet. And back in those days, I didn't have a very full closet. And I didn't really have too many shirts hanging. They were probably all on the floor somewhere, you know, where I'd taken them off. But I did have this one Pendleton hanging up in the closet. It's similar to this one. It was even a darker color. I think most Pendletons were kind of a dark tartan color. But I got to tell you, I really liked that shirt. I mean, I really, really liked it. And besides, do you know how much a Pendleton cost back in those days? It was probably a $20 shirt. I mean, it's that long ago. I don't even know. I got this one at the closet, so it was probably $3. And their Pendleton shirt today probably costs $50, $60, I would think. But it was a lot of money. I knew it because I had bought that shirt myself. The TA's words, however, stuck in my head. Don't give away something that you're not going to miss. And that was the one thing I knew that I would certainly miss. So I pulled it out of the closet and I laid it aside. I had to think about this a little bit. But I finally decided I was going to suck it up. That's the shirt that I was going to donate to this clothing drive. So I did exactly that. My next class, and I was going to school in the evenings 4 days a week, they saw me adding my shirt to the growing pile of clothing that was picking up on top of a desk or something in the school. But here's the problem. After I gave away that shirt, I really started missing it. And it's not that I wore it every day. I mean, it was, you know, that was a special shirt, and I didn't wear it that often. But the other thing that bothered me about it is that nobody seemed to realize the sacrifice that I had made in giving that, of all shirts, away. No one appreciated it, and therefore I got no joy out of giving it away. In fact, I think at least for the first few weeks, maybe for the first month, I got pretty miserable. Because that's all I could think about was where did my shirt end up. It was terrible. My donation very likely may have possibly helped someone. And this was in the fall semester, so winter was coming. And it was, I mean, these things are made out of all wool. And they could help someone keep warm. In fact, I really, at that point, really hoped that it did help someone. But what could have been an occasion of blessing for me definitely was not a blessing because of my attitude towards it. That shirt was gone. There was no pulling it back. Once those clothes left that classroom, I have no idea where they went, but I could not let that shirt go. And I felt that way for many years. Until I encountered the revelation that literally changed my life, or at least changed my relationship, not just to my clothing, but also to all of the other things that I possessed. Paul says in Philippians 4, I have learned to be content with whatever I have. You see, there was a time in my life when I needed to learn the secret of being content. Whether I had my favorite shirt or not, that didn't matter anymore. I needed to come to that point where I understood that I had other shirts, and I knew I could always go out and for another $20 or whatever it was at the time, I could have easily replaced that one that I had given up. I wasn't in any kind of extremity, but the way I was moping around and moping because of that gone shirt or that lost shirt that I had given away, supposedly freely, you certainly would have thought that I was in dire straits. I mean, just looking at my face was enough to convince you of that. Now, I think we all know that we would never have seen Paul overtaken by that sort of silliness. And that's exactly what it was. Here in Philippians chapter 4, he talks about giving and receiving. Actually, he talks about them in reverse order. The first thing he talks about is what he has learned about receiving. And I want to take a look at this giving and receiving today. Then he talks about, after he mentions receiving, he talks about giving things. Now, it might just be a good time for all of us to listen to this morning. Because I know in writing this, it was a reawakening for me of what really should motivate our lives. Now, God certainly has something to say to those of us who have struggled with this whole business of giving things. So let's start with what Paul says he has learned about receiving. And to do this, we need to look at verses 10 through 14. In verse 10, Paul acknowledges his readers' concerns for him. Remember, he was writing this letter from prison in Rome, and he was sending it back to Philippi, a church that he had founded, and those people became very, very close to him. So that was a church, as I said, that he had founded, and he did all this from the difficulties of being a prisoner, most of the time chained to his guard once he got to Rome. And the people in Philippi eventually got the word that he was in prison once again. And in response, they sent one of their own people, probably their pastor. It was a man that we talked about quite a bit last week, a man named Epaphroditus. And along with him, they also sent an undisclosed amount of money. Now, we didn't talk about that much last week, maybe just a mention, but that would help Paul as well. There's no doubt about that, and Paul deeply appreciated it. But he tells us that he didn't consider himself to really be in need. I have learned to be content with whatever I have, he says. In other words, he was happy about his life. And it's hard for us to understand that anyone in prison, a man who had not committed a crime, that they could ever consider themselves to be happy. He said, I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. You see, when you consider the kind of things that Paul had endured, it makes you wonder just what his secret was. In another one of his letters, he talks about his imprisonments. This was not Paul's first time to be imprisoned. In He talks about his labors, the countless floggings that he had endured. He was often near death following those floggings. This wasn't because he was unlucky. Now, understand this. And it wasn't because he was a thief or a criminal. This was because he had been out sharing the gospel and planting churches across what we now call Europe. That's where his passion lay. That was something he could not get out of his heart and out of his mind. He brought that into his life so that he could fulfill this burning passion in his heart of sharing the gospel with others and bringing others to Jesus Christ, because he knew the value of that ever since he had encountered Jesus himself on the road to Damascus. He was enduring all of these things because of his service for God. He says, 5 times I have received the 40 lashes minus one. Why minus one? Because the Romans thought 40 lashes was enough to kill a man. And they wanted to take him right to the edge of death without pushing him over that line. 3 times, he says, I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. That must have come from the Jews, because the Romans didn't stone people, the Jews did. 3 times, he said, I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day, I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers and bandits, in danger in the city and in the wilderness, in danger at sea, in toils and hardships through many sleepless nights. I was hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked. And now he is once again in prison. But in spite of all of this, he says, I have learned the secret of having plenty and of being in need. Now think about this. When we serve God, we want the conditions to be just right. Don't we? We insist on having everything we need. We expect to be appreciated by whoever it is that we might be sharing the gospel message with. We really don't want it to cost us a thing. And apparently we haven't learned what Paul says he had learned. We haven't learned to be content in any and every situation that he encountered in his life. We haven't learned Paul's secret yet. And that yet is still something that's to come. So, let's get to the point. What was Paul's secret? He tells us in verse 13, he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. See, his secret, quite basically, is his relationship with Jesus Christ. And really, that's no secret at all. It's just that most people don't believe it. Even Christian people don't believe it. They just don't believe that Christ is enough. But Paul had encountered Jesus on that road to Damascus, as I said. Jesus calls Paul to accountability in that encounter. He says, why are you persecuting my church? And what Paul was, he was really struck blind at that moment. And later, when those fish-like scales fell from his eyes, he realizes he'd become a brand new person. He has become a person who knows absolutely that he now belongs to Jesus Christ. That was a lesson that remained with him for the remainder of his life. That's what drove his passion. That's what gave him the strength to continue on, to really begin to put one foot in front of the other. Someone once asked the great billionaire, I believe it was, he may have been a multi-millionaire at the time, but his name was John D. Rockefeller. He's pretty well known to people, and he also owned a Standard Oil company. But someone asked him, how much money is enough? And you know what he said? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. But you see, the truth is, when it comes to money or comfort or convenience or possessions or anything that this material world has to offer us, just a little bit more will never be enough. Never. Now, if what you think is that it's going to take that money to make you happy, you're in deep trouble. You see, because if you and I are not content with having Jesus in our life, then there's never going to be anything that we can find on the face of this planet that will satisfy us. Nothing. Now, Paul knew this secret, and his secret was this. He knew from the bottom of his heart that in Jesus, he already had everything that was necessary, everything he needed for life here on earth, and in particular, in his importance for his life in eternity to be spent with God. That was what he said he learned about receiving. He didn't go out looking for Jesus. Jesus found him. And then in verse 14, he begins to speak about what he looked for in giving. The fact is that this little church in Philippi, and I thought about this congregation as I was reading this, it was a giving church. See, those people had always shared their resources, and they had always given Paul what they thought he might need, because they cared very deeply about him. They believed in his ministry. They saw the importance of what he was doing, and they wanted to have a share in that ministry. And the one way they thought they could do that, even while he was gone from them, was to send him their offerings. So Paul tells them how much that really meant to him. He says, in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, now that was the region in which this town of Philippi was located. When I left there, he said, there was no other church that shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. But he says the main thing for him wasn't what he was getting out of this. Listen, he said, not that I seek the gift. No, the main thing for Paul was what the people who were sending the gift would get out of it. I have more than enough, he said. I am fully satisfied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent me. And what does he say to the people in Philippi? He said, I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. In other words, you have given me this marvelous gift, but I seek for you what you deserve because you have done this. Now, Paul calls these gifts a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. You see, in the big picture, the money that his friends sent to him wasn't for him. They didn't really give this money to Paul because they thought they were giving it to God. It was their gift for God, and they simply entrusted it for use to Paul himself. And isn't that how we need to look at giving in the church today? I know this doesn't sound very practical, but we need to stop thinking about budgets and shortfalls and overages. I see that we have a copy of the 2018 budget in the bulletin today. And next week we'll have an opportunity to vote that in or yay or nay next week. But you see, what my point is that our motive in giving can't be to keep this little church afloat. It can't be to pay for the programs that we administer or just to do our fair share of any of that. Oh, it certainly can be. Don't get me wrong. But if it is, you will soon see that we'll always be giving out of a sense of duty rather than a understanding of love. See, that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. You see, the important thing is that the eagerness needs to be there. And what I think Paul is referring to as eagerness is that love in your heart for where this money will go to help other people. We need to give to God's work because we want to give, not because we feel like we have to give. You see, that's what prompted the Philippians' gifts to Paul, because they wanted to show their love for God by giving to God's work. Paul called their gift a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. I hope you can see that that is the right motive for giving. Not to please others, not even to please ourselves, but our motive needs to be to please God. If your desire is to please God, then God accepts your gifts. But if that is not your desire, then yes, there again, you can go ahead and give your money. You can give your talent and your time. Give whatever. But you'll never experience any joy in giving it. It will always be work or an obligation for you. And those things don't put smiles on our faces. That was my problem. I gave, and to tell the truth, at that point in my life, I had really given sacrificially. You know, my folks didn't have the money to send me to college, so I was working 40 hours a week, and I was going to school 4 days a week, and that was all coming out of my pocket. That's why that $20 shirt was so important to me. But I'm here to tell you, there's in a sense, I still miss that shirt. I didn't give it, however, to please God. And that's why I had no joy in giving that away. I gave it to please someone else, probably the TA that was teaching our class. I gave it because I thought I had to, because I thought I should do something like that. There was no love in giving that shirt, and therefore joy was totally lacking. But you see, if you and I give out of love for God, then Paul says your gift accumulates to your account. There's profit in it for you, which means there's a real blessing to be had. That's what Paul was looking for in his friends' giving. And that's what we ought to look for in our own giving. In verse 19, Paul says that when you give from the heart, then God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We think about that, digest that for just a moment. I want to tell you today that if you give so that you can seek the joy of giving, if you give out of your love for God, then what you're going to get out of it is you will get exactly what you desire more than anything else in all the world. But again, if we do it in order to get, we're giving for the wrong motive. You will get the most valuable treasure of all in giving from the bottom of your heart. And when that heart is full of love for God, you will get God's riches that can only come to us through Jesus Christ. You will get more and more of Jesus. Think about that. Would I give away this Mexican shirt today? Probably not. Because I'm just not attached to it. So to God the Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.